Good morning. It is Sunday, January the 13th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, we gain another mixed bag of wintry weather this weekend, but the wintry weather does remind us of one of the great assets of the town, and that's our town ice skating rink. And I understand it's been pretty popular this year.
It has, and we've had good days of cold weather and cold nights to where we've had good turnout. So I want to encourage everyone, you know, like this afternoon, it's open. It's open on the weekends. I believe it starts opening every Thursday, Friday afternoon, and then through the weekend through this coming month. So I encourage people to bring their children and everybody get out and ice skate. It's a real asset to the community. I was watching Rockefeller Center, a shot of that the other day. And I said, well, our rink has kind of a similar design and the sides and everything. Mm-hmm. But then I went up and looked up how big their rink was compared to ours. And we're a little bit small, but we're not that small. But it's a great place to go and have a good time.
Well, speaking of the weather, that has not been good for another project in town, and that is the new town water tank. What's the status there?
The water tank up on Satula is behind schedule. It has been delayed with the weather. We were hoping we could move faster in the fall and get moving, but you know, we had unforeseen weather problems, especially the rainfall that we've had. One of the critical things is to making sure that that engineered foundation meets every requirement, and we've been very cautious in making sure that everything is done according to plan, and it's taken longer because the foundation is the bedrock, the critical thing for holding that weight of the water tank. So we're behind schedule. We'll be continuing to work on it into the spring and possibly even into the summer. So just wanted to let everyone know that it will take time, but that's the type of job where you want to make sure that it's done right because you want it to last for another 50 years.
Well, speaking of weather-related problems, the town is still cleaning up debris from recent storms, and people might be scratching their head a little bit thinking, well, you know, in 2017, we had that really big snowfall, and then a year later, same weekend, we had another snowfall, but not nearly as big, but it seems like we're cleaning up longer. But there's another weather factor that plays into that, isn't there?
I think there are two. One, the ice word. It was not only snow, but ice that created the problem for us. But then look back on the headlines of the newspaper this past week. They said we had 126 inches of rain this year. That means our soil is saturated with moisture. And then you have a heavy snow. It caused a lot of trees to fall, rhodos, Mount Laurels to fall over out of their, you know, their foundations. Mm-hmm. And they're now hanging over roads in the roadways. And for example, this past week we had crews up on Holt Knob trying to, you know, clear major obstacles on that road. It takes time. We know there are other roads like Colasage and all around town, other problem areas, and we just have to, you know, get to them on a priority basis and take time. I know one of the places that I noticed when I was doing my road running this week is over on 6th Street going out on Horse Cove. You've got some of those beautiful rhodos that created that canopy on the sidewalk there. They've been dislodged and pushed over by the snow, and hopefully we might be able to get back to them in the next coming weeks and maybe reset them. But right now it's just not a priority because we have roads that are really have blockages that we need to clear. So hopefully we can get cleaned up by springtime. And I've got my fingers crossed that we don't have another heavy snowfall with a mixture of ice. That could be another disaster waiting for us.
Well, Mr. Mayor, at your last town board meeting, there was a little bit of confusion over the whole Main Street tree planting issue. And this past week, the Land Use Committee met once again to discuss this issue. What do you see happening at the next town board meeting?
And that will be this coming Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We will be... That's on the agenda. I will be basically moderating that process. Let me just go over it with you. You know, this really started with meetings all the way back into late summer where we've been addressing this. We've now had, I know, two land use committee meetings in recent weeks to come up with plans. There was confusion at the last town board meeting because a commissioner had added another proposal that people wanted more time to to study and review. So we didn't vote at the last meeting, but we sent it back to the Land Use Committee. They had a meeting this week, like you said. There was a good turnout of people from the chamber, merchants, concerned citizens. And now we will be looking at three options, and let me just go over them briefly. One would be to stick with the original Land Use Committee plan, which would, I believe, involve planting four trees between third and fourth. Another option would be add three more trees to that, to where it'd be seven trees there. And then finally, the last option would be to plant no trees at all and do nothing. So those will be the big issues on the agenda, or the big options. And I believe we will have a vote one way or the other at this meeting, because in order to meet the deadline or with the DOT, which will be paving Main Street in the spring, we need to start planning and making that decision at this time. So I'll be back to report to you next week what was the decision, but those are the three options that we'll be reviewing. I want to also point out that we've had a lot of town discussion on this. Some people were saying that there was some kind of a hidden agenda. I don't agree with that. We've been very open with the process. There have been a lot of ideas, a lot of different opinions, but I do think that at this meeting, we don't need to continue discussing. We need to look at the options and then make a decision. And I think that's what the board will be doing.
Mr. Mayor, in the paper this past week, there was an article about the Highlands Police Force and their use of body cams. And the police force does kind of keep ahead of the leading edge. A lot of major metropolitan police forces still don't fully employ body cams. And I understand, too, in addition to keeping up with technology, we're going to be adding a new member to the force very soon.
That's correct. We do try to keep up with the technology, whether it be communications equipment or the body cams, tasers, all of these items. We try to stay current with our police force. It's very much like our fire department. We want our firemen, when they're fighting a fire, to have the very best resources and equipment. And that's the same with our police force. A lot of that comes from grants. Our police chief is constantly looking at federal grants and state grants that are available for upgrading equipment. And a lot of times it's just a matter of an administrator like our police chief taking the time to collect the data, fill out the form, and send it in, and then we get the money for that kind of equipment. And that's the case with the body cams. We got that from a grant that was available. And, you know, I appreciate those kind of efforts, because that helps us kind of spend our tax money on other areas that have needs, too. And then we will be having a code enforcement officer on duty pretty soon. We have published that in the different resources announcing that vacancy, and interviews have been done, and I expect a decision to be made pretty soon by the town manager and the police chief as to who will be the new officer. He will be a part of the police department in Highlands, but he will also be trained in, you know, zoning and code enforcement, animal control, and those areas too. So look for a new code enforcement officer to be on duty in the coming weeks. Let me just say one other thing. I had the honor of going once again this Saturday to the annual volunteer firefighters banquet. I always enjoy being at that, where awards are made, announcements are made about the firefighter of the year and so forth. But I want to always show my support for our firefighters who do such an important job in this community. One thing that I stated at this banquet, and I will just state it to the public, it's time for us to start looking at upgrading our firefighting facility. Our actual fire department needs to be redesigned, upgraded, and improved, again, to deal with the best practices. And let me just go over two of them. One is, we need a place where uniforms can be washed and reprocessed after each fire event. The research is overwhelming now that firefighters are exposed to a lot of toxic chemicals that need to be cleaned and removed after each situation. We don't have that kind of facility right now. We need to make changes to where we can address that. Also, there are other things, for example, trucks running in the garage areas of the fire department need to have a ventilation system where all those fumes are removed. We need to address that in the coming months. We will be working on designs how we can modify our current building to address those issues that are going to be very important for the benefit of our volunteer firefighters and also our professional staff. As I've said before, the volunteer system is kind of the cornerstone of our fire department, but like all volunteer programs throughout the country now, there's becoming an increasing need to increase each department with more full-time professional staff to work together with the volunteers. So we'll be working on all of those issues in the coming months, and hopefully in the next few years, we'll see a change in the way we're running our fire department.
Mr. Mayor, it's an issue that seems to have quieted down a little bit, at least in media coverage, but it's still out there, and that is the Mission HCA acquisition. Have you heard anything more on that? Do you have any feelings on where that's moving?
Well, I've been very involved in that discussion. Some people might say that I've been outspoken, but I feel like I've been an advocate for access to health care here on the plateau and in this community. From my information, I believe that the Attorney General will probably be issuing his decision on the conversion and sale within the next few weeks, maybe by the end of the month. And at that time, we will know exactly what he's approved and what will be the final, you know, decision and structure of this conversion. I suspect some of the things we've been asking for, such as better assurances of closures of smaller hospitals in the Mission area, I think that there will be some improvement on that proposal, and other things might not come about. But I'm very interested in seeing what the Attorney General will decide.
And the State Assembly is back in session, and this coming week we will be getting a visit from one of our local representatives.
That's right. Senator Jim Davis and Jim Tate of the Macon County Commission will be meeting with me, along with Josh Ward, our town manager, this week for a meeting where we will be talking about some of the issues of common concern, especially issues for our community. If you recall, a few weeks ago, Representative Corbin came and paid a visit along with one of the chief planners, Dan Gurley, for the Speaker of the House. And we had a good conversation at that time about what we need here on the Highlands Plateau and some of the concerns that Highlands has about the Gorge Road, the broadband issue, and also about health care and so forth. And Senator Davis, he's going to make a visit, and I appreciate Senator Davis, as they did Representative Corbin, taking the time from their busy schedule to come and meet with, you know, community leaders about, you know, things that we're concerned about in the state legislature as they start their next legislative session. You know, I've always said that what happens in Raleigh does not stay in Raleigh. Those decisions will come back to directly impact communities across this state. So we need to be engaged with our legislators to let them know what we feel like are the priorities and the concerns.
Well, let's hope you have a good and fruitful meeting. And on that note, we will end this episode. I thank Mary Taylor for joining me this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday.